are two things that I really believe. One is that God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. And the second thing that I really believe is that you and I really want to hear from God. Typically, in any church I've been in, one of the most popular sermon series you can do is how to hear the voice of God, how to know God's will. Anything along those lines always seems to be very popular. And so I've got good news, because there's two passages we're going to look at this morning that I believe really give us a good example, good instruction on how you as a believer can hear, know, obey God's voice in your life. And the first one is found in John chapter 10. I read it this morning. And Jesus is teaching us there that you, as God's children, can not only hear, but can know God's voice and obey. So we're going to look at that this morning, and then we've got another passage. But turn to John 10, if you like, in your Bible. Start with verse 1 there. And we're going to look at a handful of verses here. But Jesus says this: I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen. Do you see that? The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow, see that, follow him, because they know, catch that, know his voice.
The passage that I just read, there are several things, but if you liken yourself for this passage, for this morning, as a sheep, Jesus says, you, as one of my sheep, first hear my voice as the shepherd, and then he says, you will know for certain it's my voice as the shepherd of you, as a sheep of a flock, and then he says, because of that, they will follow me. So as God's children, he's saying we can know, we can hear, we can obey, put action to the voice of the Lord. And the first thing I want to touch on is, if that's the case, what are three things, reasons, hindrances, what are things that are very common in our lives as believers that can get in there and kind of mess up the works, if that's the process Jesus wants us to have? And so you see them in your outline there, three chief hindrances or problems. And the first thing that interrupts or keeps us from hearing, knowing, obeying the voice of God, the first major thing is sin in our life. We talked about this last Sunday night in the message. We were talking about the problem of hidden sin and so forth. But sin is a big thing. I heard of a guy, he had this nagging secret, this hidden sin that he had never told anybody about. It was bothering him for years. Finally, he couldn't keep it any longer, and so he wasn't a man of God, but he knew about confessionals and so forth, so he went to a Catholic church, he went to a confessional, he sat down next to the priest there, and he admitted to that priest that for years, he worked in a lumber yard, that for years he had been stealing building supplies. And so the priest naturally asked the question, well, how much lumber did you take? And the guy said, well, I don't know exactly, but he said, I took enough to build my home, and then over the years, I took enough to build my son's home and my daughter's home, and then I took enough to build the cabin at the lake. And the priest is thinking, he's like, my. He says, this is a very serious offense. You know, I'm going to have to think of just some far-reaching penance that will really address this type of sin. And he said, have you ever considered a retreat? And the guy said, no, Father, I never have, but if you can get the plans, I can get the lumber. I'm not sure he'd really reach that point of repentance that you need for sin in your life. In Ephesians 4, verse 26-27, we read these words. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. So you know what Paul is telling the Ephesians there. He's saying, still for us today, when we have sin in our life, it is like a crack in the door. It's like the draft under your door in the middle of winter. It is that entry. It is that point where our adversary can get a foothold and get into our lives. Satan has an opportunity, a place to get in and work in our lives. And when that happens, when we allow that, then our focus, our discernment, our hearing that still small voice naturally fades away. And our adversary begins to clog the channel. That's why the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Well, God will not hear us, and we will not hear from God if sin is one of the major hindrances that can keep us from listening to that voice. And so when we clear the channels and when we take care, we address the situation, we get that sin out of our life, we begin to be able again to hear. We begin to be able to obey and know the voice of God. Look at the second one. Second hindrance, hearing the voice of God, neglect. Now, I'm just talking about neglect here. I'm talking about the Mary Martha story. I'm talking about being so busy that you neglect. Notice I didn't say reject. I said neglect. That you neglect. I think of the Hebrew writer. He said this. How shall we escape if we neglect? You notice that? Not reject. If we neglect so great a salvation. And you say, well, preacher, how do we neglect our salvation? I can tell you exactly how we do it. Let me tell you how I do it. I am task-oriented. I am action-oriented. If I don't have a to-do list when I wake up in the morning, I just make one up so I can check it off because that's just my bent. I like to keep moving. I have a high energy level. And I can be so busy about doing the work of God that it can kill the work of God in me. I can be so busy about doing work for the Lord that I don't spend time with the Lord. Neglect. Then you see the third one there, inexperience. You know what? Neglect and sin, that's your responsibility. Get the sin out of your life. Spend some time with the Lord. Bottom line. But right now I want to talk about inexperience because I think there's a lot of us, I don't care how long we've been believers, I think there's a lot of us that maybe we're not quite sure or a little inexperienced in what are the things we need to be aware of or do to hear his still small voice. So, turn to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want to give you quickly 6 practical steps in how to listen to God. So if you've getting the sin, got the sin out of your life, and you're spending time with the Lord, now here's the recipe on the things you can do to make yourself aware of, to listen, know, understand the will, the voice of God. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now let me give you some practical steps from this passage that still today you and I can take in listening to God. And the first one is, minister unto the Lord. If you want to know, if you want to hear the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, if you want to hear His voice, the passage says we must minister unto Him. That's what happened in verse 1. Samuel ministered before the Lord. And you say, well, what does that mean for us today? To minister unto the Lord. Every Lord's Day, God calls us collectively as the body of Christ, the fellowship of saints, to praise Him. You can praise, all of life as worship. You can do that anytime, anywhere. But it's very special on the Lord's Day, He calls us collectively to do that. And so to worship Him, it means we come into His presence to lift Him up. We are ministering unto the Lord. And so it's what we do on Sunday mornings. We come together, we sing songs, hymns, choruses. It's a very sweet sound to His ear. Scripture says it rises up as an aroma, a fragrance into His presence. And so we begin to hear His voice. God says it opens a channel when we minister unto Him. Now you can say, you know what? We've got a song leader. We've got a piano leader, a piano player. We're going to sing some songs. But you're missing it if that's at the level that it ends. Because very really what God calls us to do, as we see also from this passage of Samuel, is just as they did in the temple there, to minister unto the Lord. It is part of the process that He uses. And so we hear His voice when we minister unto Him. We sense His presence. We worship Him. And He is as close as the mention of His name. When we build that palace of praise on the Lord's Day and it is rising up into His presence as a sweet-smelling aroma, a fragrance to Him, He is as close as the name that we are calling. We come into His presence to lift up His name. This is how we prepare to hear His voice. Look at the second step, being able to listen to God. Seek counseling from mature Christians. I didn't have enough line on your line there. Seek counseling from mature Christians. Listen to Proverbs 11:14. Where no wise counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 24:6. In an abundance of counselors there is victory, and there is also safety. Seek counsel from those who are mature in the Lord. So when you go with a right heart, a pure motive, you go to the right people, you ask the right questions, you are seeking the right information, you want their guidance, you want their counsel, you are seeking from mature Christians. I don't know what the setting is for you. It might be in your home, it might be family members, it might be a small group, it might be Sunday school, a Bible study, it might be your church family on a Sunday morning. Might be a friend or relative or neighbor. Whatever it is, it's that person that you know loves you, that you trust. They have your best interest at heart, and you're willing to seek wise counsel from them. Yeah, that's what Samuel did, verses 5, 6, and 8. He kept going to Eli. Counsel from a wise man, because something was happening. God was speaking to him, and he was seeking counsel from him. Look at number 3. Test the spirits. It's the third time Samuel came to Eli in verse 8. It says, Eli discerned the Lord was calling the boy. In other words, Eli now understands, he's discerning, he's knowing what's going on, that God is speaking. And he's saying, you know what, Samuel, in discerning God's voice here, test the spirits. You may say, well, Pastor, why should I test the spirits? If I'm God's child and He wants to speak to me, why should I test what I'm hearing? 1 John 4:1 says this, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but prove or test the spirits to see whether they are from God. If you do not, you can end up in Jonestown in Guyana. If you do not, you can end up with the Branch Davidians in Waco. If you do not, you can end up in a Kingdom Hall across the street. Test the spirits. So in testing the spirits, how do we discern the voice of God? Well, there's some things you can do. Are my motives pure? Because if my motives are pure and I'm simply wanting to do what's right by God, then I have an easier way of sensing, is it from God? There's no hidden agenda. There's no bias on my part. Second one, is the message consistent? When I believe to discern or hear that God is speaking to me, does what he is saying to me be consistent with three things? With God's word? No time is something God tells you ever to be inconsistent with his word. Number two, with God's people. That's why you seek wise counsel. I need to understand if I just had a bad taco and a bad dream, or if God is persistently, consistently giving me this message, and I need a brother or sister in Christ to speak into this. And then, is the message consistent with God's movement? In other words, the wind blows, the Holy Spirit comes and goes. There are certain things God has done and hasn't done in history through his people, in his kingdom as he builds it. And so is what I am sensing consistent with how I know God has acted? So then you ask, is the message persistent? Not only is it consistent, but is it persistent? You saw that over and over with Samuel. Is it that I can't get away from it? Is it that it's coming back over a long process of time? Is the message persistent? It's like this guy who was sitting at his house and the floods came. And the floodwaters came up all the way to the stoop on his door. And about that time, some friends in the neighborhood came by in a canoe. And they said, come on, man, get in. We'll take you to safety. And he said, no. I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm staying. The water kept rising. The floods just kept on coming. Finally, he ends up on the second story, then on the roof. He's on top of his roof on the shingles. Finally, a Coast Guard helicopter comes, lowers a basket, says, get in. And he says, no. He says, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm staying. The old guy drowns, standing before God at the pearly gate. God, I don't understand it. I was trusting in you and you allowed me to die. God said, I don't understand it. First I sent a canoe and then I sent a helicopter and you didn't do a thing. The message persistent. Does he continually act? Then the next one is, will this bless the Lord and others? If I obey his voice, if what I hear him speaking to me is in fact him, will it honor him? Will it honor others? So those are four questions. How can I test? How can I know? How can I discern God's will? And then the fourth step, listening to God, submit to his lordship. Submit to his lordship. I like Samuel here. In this story, he begins to submit to the lordship. With Eli's instruction, he says, here I am. Here am I. There's a submission here. And still today, there must be a submission to the lordship of Christ for God to speak into our lives, for us to hear our voice. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Kermit said it's more or less about what we want, more about what he wants. And that's what I'm saying here. There must be a submission to the lordship of Christ before we can hear his voice. If we are not submitted to Christ, then it's all about us. We have our own agenda and we have our own cause. Our flesh has a tendency to want to control and get what we want and manipulate things. Think of Israel. We talked about this. No, we're not going to go over there. Israel said no to God because they hadn't submitted to the lordship of God. They basically said, God, you can provide manna, you can provide water, you can provide quail, you can do this or that, there can be a pillar of fire and cloud. You can provide all these things and you can take care of us, but we are not going to let you control us. And I know a lot of believers like that. Oh yes, Lord, I'll let you save me. Oh yes, God, I'm glad I got fire insurance. Yes, Lord, you can take care of me.
but you cannot run my life. I will do that. Thank you very much. Submit to the Lordship. Then fifth, have faith that God will speak to you. We need to have faith that God will speak to us. Verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now this is interesting here. What place? The place where God had previously tried to speak to him before. And I'm not getting legalistic. It doesn't have to be a particular place and time. But there is something helpful about this particular aspect of the passage is that if you have a particular place, I don't care if it's your lazy boy in your living room or a prayer closet in the back of the house, but if you have a particular place where maybe you spend time in God's Word and prayer, and you know when you go there, there's an expectation on your part that you're going to spend time communing with Him. Again, not legalism, but if you have a place, it can help that anticipation, that discerning of God speaking to you. Then look at step 6. Obey boldly. So not only when God speaks do I encourage you to obey boldly, but Samuel went back. God revealed to him later in this passage he's about to do an unusual work in Israel. And in the story he said, Samuel, I want you to speak to Eli about his family. Eli hadn't done a real good job raising his boys. And so here he is, an understudy, a kid, if you will. And he tells Samuel, I want you to talk to your mentor. Verse 15. Samuel lay down until morning, then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Interesting. Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And we, like that, must obey God boldly. If we hear and know and we've tested and we've discerned and we're his sheep and the shepherd speaks to us, then it says we have to obey God boldly. Even if we might be a little scared, even if we might be a little apprehensive, even if it might be a little uncomfortable. Because I believe in a God who speaks. I believe in God's people who want to hear him speak, discern that voice, and obey that voice. And I found a long time ago that if you won't obey the voice of God, if you won't submit to his lordship, then nothing I say, nothing I do, no amount of guilt, no amount of brow beating will make a bit of difference in your Christian life. Any pressure that I put on you will be fruitless and useless if you're not willing to do this with God speaking into your life. I'd like you to make an agreement with God that you would listen to his voice, that you will do whatever he says. And if you will do that, you can be on the most exciting journey in your life with him. The reason why is because then he will give you a peace that only he can give. Understanding, knowing what is right, and then being willing to do it. It hasn't changed from Samuel and Eli to today. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize you as the source of all good things. We praise your name for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us individually, collectively, as a church. We realize that you work through your people, and we want to be those people, a channel of your blessing. Let us be those people that choose to listen and to obey your voice. Speak, Father. Here we are. In Jesus' name, amen.